This is music from Jim Hall. Welcome to The Checkout from WBGO. I'm Josh Jackson. Jim Hall died in his Greenwich Village home in New York City, December 10th, 2013. The guitarist with a gentle hand was a giant in the jazz community, forming lifelong connections to Ella Fitzgerald, Sonny Rollins, Chico Hamilton, and many more. We remember his legacy. Music for Madiba. South African jazz expert Etienne Chardelot stops by, and he shares five songs written for the great Nelson Mandela. And saxophonist Patrick Cornelius delves into the children's poetry of A.A. Milne. That's coming up next. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. Patrick Cornelius proves that being a father of two and making a living playing jazz are not mutually exclusive, as you might think. At his alma mater, the Berklee College of Music, the alto saxophonist premieres a jazz suite, While We're Still Young, music based on the children's poetry, When We Were Very Young, by A.A. Milne.
There's a kind of fresh innocence in these poems. It speaks to a part of being a kid that I think we all remember. My grandmother gave me, us as a gift, a copy of When We Were Very Young. And she said that she read it to my mother when she was a baby, and my mom read it to me when I was a baby, and then I read it to my daughter. My wife used to sing her a little lullaby that she just made up. She would sing, it's time to sleep, it's time to sleep, fish is crooning, water's deep. Well, I did something with that. But here's the poem. This is Vespers. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on the little hands, little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. God bless mummy, I know that's right. Wasn't it fun in the bath tonight? The cold so cold and the hot so hot. Oh, God bless daddy, I quite forgot. If I open my fingers a little bit more, I can see Nanny's dressing gown on the door. It's a beautiful blue, but it hasn't a hood. Oh, God bless Nanny and make her good. Mine has a hood, and I lie in bed and pull the hood right over my head. And I shut my eyes and I curl up small, and nobody knows that I'm there at all. Oh, thank you, God, for a lovely day. And what was the other I had to say? I said bless Daddy, so what can it be? Now I remember. God bless me. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, drops on the little hand's little gold head. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vespers, the final movement from Patrick Cornelius' six-part jazz suite based on the poetry of Winnie the Pooh creator A.A. Milne. Patrick Cornelius on the alto saxophone, Jason Palmer trumpet, John Ellis played the tenor saxophone, with Nick Vianas on trombone. Miles Okazaki on guitar, Gerald Clayton piano, Peter Slavoff on bass, and Kendrick Scott on drums.
Patrick Cornelius.
This concert is part of the Checkout Live series at Berklee College of Music, recorded December 11, 2013.
While we're still young.
Hear the full show at WBGO.org. Coming up next, music for Madiba. Etienne Chardelot shares five Nelson Mandela jazz tributes with WBGO's Simon Rentner. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
I'm Simon Rentner, and joining us is Etienne Chardelot, one of South Africa's foremost jazz experts. Welcome to The Checkout.
Hi, welcome. It's good to be here. Thank you very much.
We're talking about Nelson Mandela and all of the music that has been inspired by him over the years. There have been operas, a ton of pop music from the region, a lot of traditional music from all the ethnic groups of South Africa, and of course, jazz music, which is oh, so popular in South Africa. Etienne Chardelot, how many jazz compositions do you think have been written in the celebration of Nelson Mandela?
Well, it's very hard to say, but I came across over 30, and so whittling the selection down to five was really tough.
What's the first tune you're going to share with us?
This is a tune called Mandela, Bring Him Back Home. Hugh Masekela is probably one of our biggest jazz exports, and he spent many years living in the United States in exile. And he wrote this song calling for the release and return of Nelson Mandela from the Robben Island prison where he was being kept. And this tune, even though it was written overseas, made its way back home. And although banned and not allowed to be aired on radio stations here in South Africa, still managed to become incredibly popular and incredibly well known.
Mandela, Bring Him Back Home, Hugh Masekela, a song he wrote in 1987 and performed at Wembley Stadium in London. That concert in particular probably brought more attention to what was going on in South Africa than any other music to date. Would you say that's correct?
That concert was huge. And in South Africa, we knew it was happening. But again, you know, our government was, you know, very protective about what we were able to know about. And the press in South Africa had a very hard time breaking a lot of this news. But, you know, we were aware of the concert, and it really did, I think, drive the message to the rest of the world about exactly what was happening here.
Etienne Chardelot joins us on The Checkout. We're talking about five pieces of jazz music inspired by Mandela. What's the next piece, Etienne?
So this came a few years after Nelson Mandela had served as president of the country. And it was dedicated to both him, Nelson Mandela, as well as Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And they're both veterans of the struggle for freedom in South Africa and both Nobel Peace Prize winners. And the song written by Winston Mankunku Ngozi was dedicated to them. Now, Winston Mankunku Ngozi is another South African artist who also felt the brunt of apartheid, being a black musician in South Africa. What often used to happen was our jazz bands particularly were often made up of mixed races, and where there was a musician of another race, they often used to have to play behind a curtain so that the police, if they raided the club, wouldn't see that there was a person of another race playing on the stage at the same time. And he lived through that. And so for him to write this song, Peace Brothers Peace, dedicated to Nelson Mandela and Bishop Desmond Tutu and what they did to bring peace to South Africa is quite a tribute.
Mankunku Ngozi, Peace Brothers Peace. Etienne Chardlow joins us here on The Checkout. What's this next selection?
The next one is one from an artist we all know fairly well. This is Abdullah Ibrahim, another great South African jazz export. Spent many years in Europe and the United States in exile during apartheid. And he started out life as Adolf Johannes Brand and then changed his name to Dollar Brand and then eventually took the name Abdullah Ibrahim. And he was introduced to the jazz world via Duke Ellington. He has an interesting history in the struggle in that he was living in exile, but his music was quite influential in South Africa. And two of his tunes, Peace, Salam, and Mannenberg, were both smuggled onto Robben Island, the prison where Nelson Mandela was being held captive alongside a number of other political prisoners. And when Nelson Mandela heard this music, he actually described it as music that would be able to be used as a cohesive force amongst the prisoners on the island.
We're listening to the irrepressible sounds from South Africa during apartheid and after, music all inspired by Nelson Mandela. What do we have next?
The next tune I've selected is one from another pianist from South Africa. His name is Paul Hanmer. He's based in Johannesburg, and he wrote an album called Accused Number One, Nelson Mandela. This whole album basically sums up in music the Rivonia treason trial. He was found guilty of treason and terrorism under Section 29 of the Internal Security Act, and that resulted in him being imprisoned for the 27 years that he spent in prison. The tune that I've selected is actually called Section 29.
Etienne Chardlot joins us on the checkout. We're talking about five Mandela-inspired jazz tunes. And we have one last one, don't we?
Yeah, this last one, it's based on Nkosi Sikelel' iAfrika, which is the national anthem of South Africa, or part of the national anthem, and it is the anthem of the African National Congress. And it is a tune composed by Enoch Sontonga called Nkosi Sikelel' iAfrika, which means God Bless Africa. And this particular composition is based on that tune by Zimnawana. It's called Anthem, and Zim actually has an interesting history with Nelson Mandela, in that for Mandela's inauguration as president in 1994, Zimnawana led the music at that inauguration. It was on that day, the 10th of May 1994, where he led the inauguration, but he also died on the anniversary of that date in 2011. So the 10th of May seems to be a big day in his life.
Etienne Chardlot, thank you for talking about these tunes on the checkout. And he can be heard on All Jazz Radio in South Africa. He also has a website where he distributes a lot of music, all kinds of South African sounds. That's at jazze.co.za.
Zimnawana's Anthem. Etienne Chardlot in conversation with WBGO's Simon Rettner. Coming up next, we remember a gentle giant, guitarist Jim Hall. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Guitarist Jim Hall died December 10, 2013. He was 83. He had a gentle hand. He was a towering giant in the jazz community. He formed lifelong bonds with Ella Fitzgerald, Sonny Rollins, Chico Hamilton, and many other greats. The National Endowment for the Arts acknowledged as much, giving him the highly coveted Jazz Master's Fellowship. In 2004, Jim Hall spoke to WBGO's Sheila Anderson about his career and what it meant to receive such a high honor.
I'm here with Jim Hall, who was one of the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters Fellow. The National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master Fellowships are the highest honors that our government bestows upon jazz musicians.
I like that.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you're in good company because so many incredible artists have gotten the award.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the awardees is someone with whom you played, and that's
Chico.
Chico.
Yeah.
Chico Hamilton. How did that association happen?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I went out to California to seek my fortune. I had an ancient aunt there. She was great. So I slept on her couch. And I had a friend there named Joe Donnelly. I studied arranging with in Cleveland. And he had a big band rehearsal at the Union. So I had a couple things I could do. And indirectly through that, I got in touch with Chico, or he got in touch with me. He was looking for a guitar player. And that was 55, I think, something like that.
Yeah, 1955. Mm. I see where you drove a car out.
Oh, yeah.
And just had to pay for gas or something.
Just had to pay for gas.
Right. What is that? What was that? It's like one way.
Yeah, it was some kind of delivery deal, where if you could drive the car out there, we had a lavender Cadillac convertible or something, a saxophone player with me.
From what I understand, you had planned on becoming a classical composer.
That's what I kind of thought, yeah.
And you were going to teach, and then you realized that was not something for you.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like I fit into the school scene there too well. So
you studied classical. What was it that took you into the jazz world?
Well, I had played the guitar since I was 10, I think. I was playing in little groups in junior high school, and usually it was drums, accordion, clarinet, and guitar, something like that.
That's a heck of a group.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You can imagine where that was. But in one of the groups, the clarinet player was the leader, and he took me into a record shop, and you heard a Benny Goodman record that Charlie Christian was on. It was a solo on Grand Slam, a blues. I think he played two choruses. But boy, I'm not sure what he's doing, but I sure wish I could do it.
You say that it's important for you to listen to others. What is it that you're listening for? It says you say listening is the key.
Well, I guess it probably works in a lot of ways. But when I'm working with the group, I'm very aware, I think I am anyway, of what the other people are playing and how it relates to what I'm doing. And the composition background probably kicks in there a little bit too. I did a CD for Teller called Jim Hall and Basses, and there's four pieces that are just completely improvised.
Actually, one of my favorite songs on that CD is Dog Walk.
Oh, yeah?
There's a story behind that, I think. Is there?
Well, that was written for Django, my dog. It was supposed to have kind of a jolly feeling to it, and I figured it'd be perfect for Christian McBride, so I wrote it for Christian, too.
We are talking with Jim Hall, one of the National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Masters Fellows. You played with Bill Evans, you played with Ron Carter as a duo, you've had trios, you've had big bands. Do you prefer one over the other, or is it just different?
Like, in a certain sense, I think I prefer the smaller settings. Partly because of what we talked about earlier, about listening and reacting. And it gets more, a lot of times if I'm working with a quartet, or even a quintet. I sort of stand there and smile a lot on the bandstand. Whereas with just a bass or just a bass, drums, and guitar, I'm more active. Well, piano and guitar can kind of bump into each other pretty easily. So with Ron Carter, it was very easy also. I would listen, there's the word again, I would listen to his bass lines and I'd react to that. And George Shearing, of course. George, we did Emily as a ballad, that tune, Emily. And George plays the most gorgeous solo on it. Sounds like a piece of beautiful classical music or something. So you just kind of enjoy what the other person is playing and listen and react to it.
My name is Sheila Anderson, as I'm here with Jim Hall. So I've noticed that you have recorded Concerto de Armaway several times. What is it about that song that you're attracted to, and why have you chosen to record that so many different ways or times?
That's interesting, because it wasn't my choice. I did the record for Creed Taylor for CTI Records. I was really lucky. I had Chet Baker was on there, and Paul Desmond, Ron Carter, Steve Gadd, and Don Sebesky brought that in for us to do. And I really was not too keen on doing it, because I love that piece of music, and I figured it didn't really need me improvising over it. It was perfect the way it is. But I think we made kind of a charming record out of it, and with Don Sebesky's planning, worked out nice. I think it starts with Ron Carter playing kind of a tremolo on the bass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then Paul Desmond comes in on the bridge or whatever it is. He makes a beautiful entrance. So that was kind of a big seller in Japan. So then, next time I went to Japan, I was asked to do that every night on a concert.
My.
So I took an extra guitar on. So it sort of grew like that. It was not my idea, and I still am kind of embarrassed to be improvising on that piece of music, because it's such a gorgeous piece.
My name is Sheila Anderson, and I have been speaking with Jim Hall, one of the people that you played with so many people. Sonny Rollins, you were on the bridge. Talk about that. How did you hook up with Sonny, and what was it like working with him in that period of his
development? It was
great.
I think Sonny's kind of my hero in a lot of ways, personally and musically. When I was working with Chico, we worked opposite Max Roach's group with Sonny and Clifford Brown and Richie Powell. In fact, I saw Richie and Clifford the night before they were killed in that car. Anyway, I met Sonny there, and then we'd run into each other occasionally on the road. We'd work opposite each other. So when I was down here, further down on 12th Street, I got a note in my mailbox one day. My phone was probably turned off for non-payment or something. And it said, I wish I'd kept it. It said, "Dear Jim, I'd like to talk with you about music," on Sonny Rollins.
Oh.
And I think I walked all the way over to his place, which is right near the Williamsburg Bridge, because I probably couldn't afford a taxi, and I left him a note, and I said, "I'd love to talk about music, and I'm home a lot," something like that. So somehow we made arrangements to get together, and he came up to the apartment, and we sat down, sort of like you and I are, across from each other, and he put this little plastic bag on the table next to him, and he started talking about he's thinking about getting this quartet together with Bobby Cranshaw and Walter Perkins, and it was a big deal for me. And all of a sudden, this bag kind of started trembling. And I said, what's that, Sonny? And he said, "I'll tell you later after we finish this discussion." Isn't that great? I mean, he was so focused, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so then he told me he wanted to start a quartet with guitar. He had been not playing for a couple of years.
Yes.
In public, anyway, practicing like mad. So then he opened the bag at the end, and it was a little lizard or chameleon or something. He just came from a pet shop. Isn't that wild? But he, yeah.
That's wild.
That's so typical of him, though.
Oh, my.
He was so centered in what he was talking about. So look at that. Isn't that great? So then we started rehearsing down at the Five Spot, I believe. And then we went to work in the jazz gallery. I really didn't realize what an amazing musician and person that Sonny is until we worked together.
What do you listen to now other than jazz?
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't really listen to jazz music too much. I'm kind of selective. I remember I worked in a club with Art Farmer in Berlin, and the club was run by some people from India. And sometimes after work, they'd put some different tables together, and they'd start playing rhythms on these tables. And I thought it was great. I'd listen to that, you know, anything.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yeah. And then Duke Ellington, of course. That's still magic for me, that band that he had. Generally, it's more sort of classical music.
I remember I saw a Miles Davis special, and he was talking about how he would go to basketball games and just listen to
them, the ball bounce?
Bouncing, yeah.
Yeah.
And picking up a rhythm from the sounds from the players and things. Are you influenced by
probably
sounds as
yeah.
well?
I go to a health club a couple times a week, and usually the music is not good.
You're right.
Oh, boy. Speaking of basketballs bouncing, that's what it sounds like. But in the locker room, there's an air conditioning machine that has the greatest rhythm ever. Sounds so much better than... I gotta get Lewis Nash to go in there and hear it. It's amazing. So yeah, that influences me. It sounds like a real fast samba with all sorts of odd accents and things. And wow. I'm standing back there grooving with the air conditioning machine. You know. So yeah, I am influenced by that.
And I'm speaking with Jim Hall, who is one of the NEA Jazzmaster Fellows of 2004. How do you describe your sound, or do you?
Well, yeah, I guess it's hard to describe one's own sound, but it was probably influenced by all those different people, especially Ben Webster, I would think, and then Sonny. I do not quite get the volume that so many younger people are using on the bandstand now. It's too loud for me, so I use the contrast, some soft, some loud, some in the middle, and sometimes I just turn the amplifier all the way off, and you can draw people in. So I try to use all the elements that are there within the instrument so that it doesn't sound the same all the time.
Ben Ratliff wrote about you, "Jazz is full of exceedingly strange people, but the guitarist Jim Hall isn't one of them."
Oh, I'm not, okay.
"He is a mild-mannered, curious Midwesterner who is admired by his colleagues because he is so certifiably sane."
I find musicians in general to be, this is kind of self-serving, I know, but the camaraderie is amazing, I believe, among musicians in general. And I know it must be partly the Midwestern thing, but I automatically talk to people on the street. I know everybody in the neighborhood. I know all the panhandlers, all the doormen. And I guess I'm sincerely interested in people. Sane, I don't know. I think the fact that our government is still supporting the NEA awards is incredible, and I'm so glad that that's still happening out of the taxpayers' money. And it's not going for any kind of destruction, but it's going for peaceful purposes. And
right.
So I hope that's sane. It feels sane to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
leaving us all a little sentimental. We miss you, Jim Hall. That's one of his last recorded performances at the 2013 Newport Jazz Festival, in a sentimental mood.
Thank you.
The guitarist pays tribute to his idol, Duke Ellington.
That is a pretty nice way to make a living. You know, I learn something every day.
Joining him, guitarist Julian Lage, bassist Scott Colley, and drummer Lewis Nash. You can hear Jim Hall's entire set with Julian Lage from Newport at wbgo.org/Newport. Also, check out our website, checkoutjazz.org, and find all of our interviews, sessions, and more. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, and on Twitter, @checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. You can follow him on Twitter, @SimonRentner. Special thanks to our intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.